you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listening friend. I'm so glad you've joined me for this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 15, 2012, and you're in for a real treat. Today's special guest is Eric Kraft. You're going to learn all about him, how God's been at work in his life, part of his testimony, some specific answers to prayer, how he met his wife Heidi, some heartwarming stories on how God worked in very unique ways. Also, some of those unknown questions like why would God allow certain things to happen, or how could he bring good out of such heartache? Well, if you were tuned in yesterday, you got the scoop on how this program will work today. We'll be following the same format as yesterday. Basically, a few days ago, I took my portable microphone and Olympus recorder while I was at a Pinnacle leadership retreat. I spontaneously came up with an idea. I was going to do a few interviews, handed the microphone to these new friends, laid out some questions before them, and basically walked them through. So you'll hear Eric introduce himself in just a moment. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast or you can't make it for the entirety of today's testimony, stop by greatnewsradio.org and listen on our archived programs link. Also, a quick shout out for the Singing Men of GNN. Fabulous rehearsal last night. We're pumped to sing this Saturday, May 19th, 6 p.m. at the Christian Bible Church, right between Rankin and Cisna Park on Route 49. So basically take the Rankin exit, that's exit 200. Head north about 20, 25 miles, and you'll come to the Christian Bible Church right there on Route 49, 3.5 miles north of Rankin. This Saturday, free concert, 6 p.m. Come join the Singing Men of GNN. All right, I'll let Eric introduce himself and stay with us. Trust me, you're going to be blessed by today's broadcast.
Hello, my name is Eric Kraft. Grew up in Champaign County, starting in Rantoul, attended school at the University of Illinois, and actually currently now reside in Mahomet, Illinois. I've been married 23 wonderful years to just the sweetheart of my life, Denise, who I came to know while I was in college. We have two wonderful children, age 17 and 13, names Brennan and Garrett. I just started a new company. I'm the president and executive coach at Kraft Development Group. With my passions of growing and developing businesses and organizations, it's really allowed me to focus on developing people and developing processes. I attend Grace Church in Mahomet. And my favorite verse is 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. I really enjoy a number of hobbies. Probably my closest are my children, enjoying really sports through them, and in particular soccer and basketball. I also enjoy traveling, and we as a family get to do a lot of traveling, times with part of ministry, and then other times just to be able to explore the world and what is out there. Some of those trips include 5 individual trips down to Pass Christian, Mississippi, to help with the Katrina relief efforts. That included going down with the residents of the Safe House from Urbana, Illinois, as well as even taking my boy down as he gathered gifts from his schools and schoolmates and even from his own birthday party to be able to take down even for some of the initial kids who did not have any of their toys because they had all been swept out into the ocean. My life story really kind of begins with my walk with the Lord from my grandmother, my mom's mom, and attending not only the military chapel at Chinook Air Force Base with my father and us as a family. But there was always something special about that little white steeple and church down in Ziegler, Illinois, which is where my grandmother was from. It was interesting there as we were eating dinner one time, Pastor Leroy Wagner came and visited us because I shared with my grandmother that I was really wanting to know more about this Jesus. And so with his presence and sitting around a kitchen table, he put together a series of steps about how you could actually go ahead and enter salvation. And with that, then, there were also another set of steps that descended about how we'd also have eternal condemnation by not accepting Christ. And so needless to say, through that study and through that confirmation, that was August 13th of 1978, and that's when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And sharing that really draws a reflection about the importance of grandparents into the roles of families. I'd just like to say, although she's deceased, thank you for my grandmother, but also want to encourage every other grandmother and grandfather out there to invest in their grandchildren and to continue passing this down from generation to generation as we now have the New Testament ourselves. It's also been exciting that for my wife, having brought in our two children into this world, I was also able to baptize each of them. And very meaningful experiences, having attended Promise Keepers conferences together, and each of those conferences, them having that calling and stepping forward and going to the front, and then actually stepping down into the baptismal and baptizing each one of them into the Holy Spirit.
I like so much of what Eric is saying here, the importance of grandparents modeling and sharing Christ, that this pastor made a home visit and shared the gospel message, and the importance and the godly role that both Eric and Denise had in raising their two boys, and how God used Eric and Promise Keeper events to bring Brennan and Garrett to himself. I asked Eric to share a little more about his testimony and the process that took place and his points of growth and development, so we'll continue with him sharing his testimony.
So although it was not a one-time testimony, I guess, or a one-time experience, it was really a growth. My walk with the Lord continued to grow. It got to the point where in junior high, had the opportunity to really start growing through our youth group with the different leadership roles. Probably the neatest experience was whenever I actually went into college. Joining a fraternity, my mom and dad almost disowned me. But it was a professional social fraternity, and my commitment to them was I was going to continue to invest in the kids wherever I went to church. And that's where I started attending Northwest Christian Church. Even as a freshman in college, really found myself ministering and tending to the high school programs of 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. Another exciting thing I found is that while working within the house as a house manager, I was also house chaplain. And so it gave us really a number of opportunities to talk about why I wasn't drinking or why I was now getting up on Sunday morning even after the party and now attending church and leading Sunday school. And it's great to hear feedback from each of those fraternity brothers now that we've graduated, some of them who have gone on to become youth ministers, senior pastors, now raising their children and discipling their children, adopting kids from all over the world. It just really goes to show how we really have an opportunity to really influence no matter where we are. So I thank my mom and dad for challenging me, but I also love the Lord for giving me strength and also being an example to others as well.
Amen. Thank you, God, for your love and how you love each and every person tuned in at this very moment. In case you found yourself on one of our four frequencies listening to this Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, let me explain what's going on. A few days ago, I was thoroughly enjoying myself with about 15 or 20 other guys at a special Pinnacle Forum leadership retreat where the theme was growing deeper. Well, being one that always multitasks and tries to optimize my time, I grabbed my new microphone and recording device and found a few friends to share some of their testimonies. And as I mentioned yesterday, at around 4 in the morning, I scripted out some of the questions I would ask and some easy ones that would get them warmed up, just saying their name, where they're from, something about their family, and then some of their testimony. And so yesterday, if you were tuned in, you heard Jim Lilly respond to the various questions I'd written out. Well, today you're hearing from Eric Kraft, who's the president and executive coach and chief strategist of the Kraft Development Group. And he had about 3-minute notice that I was going to be recording him. So he's doing a great job. He now transitions some of his testimony into some unique God sightings and decisions he had to make as his wife Denise was experiencing some health issues during her pregnancies. So we'll jump right back into that testimony. And let me also point out, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or maybe have to head into work now, Eric Kraft's story is archived at our website at greatnewsradio.org, along with a photograph I took of him in the home we stayed on, Lake of Egypt, down at the Shawnee National Forest. So here again is Eric Kraft.
I really feel I've been very blessed with two wonderful boys. They didn't come very easily. Matter of fact, our first one came 2 weeks early. That's Brennan. In the course of delivering the child, the doctor had not shown up yet, but he was ready to come. And so although he took his first breath, he was sucked back into the womb, and the nurse very quickly jumped on Denise to help deliver that child. But with a pretty low Apgar score and a color blue, it really brought awareness about how precious life really is. And then Denise's recovery after that also didn't go very smoothly, but it really allowed us to appreciate bosses, coworkers, and just the neighbors and church members that come around to help through instances like that. Now, our second child was a lot more of a scare. Garrett chose to come 10 weeks early, was delivered at only 2.5 pounds, with Denise having blood pressure that was basically line voltage, 220 over 110. Probably one of the toughest decisions I had is whenever the doctor said, well, what do you want to do? I didn't realize I was going to have this choice at such a short period of time, but realized that with only a 24-hour given time frame that I had to choose between either delivering, which could lose both, not delivering, which would definitely lose both, or delivering and hopefully saving one, maybe both. And, of course, we often hear about the surfactant in the lungs. Things I hadn't considered were the perforations that occur because the digestive tract is one of the last things to be developed, or the complexity of the eye and how he may not have good vision or glaucoma or other things. But I feel very blessed and very fortunate that he is here with us today, and kind of have to laugh a little bit, actually, at our Christmas picture, because it had all three of us, my 17, my 13, and myself, all within a half inch of one another in height. And I just continue to thank God for not only my wife, the mother of my kids, and two wonderful boys. In the 23 years I've been married, it's been amazing to me the commitment that we have for one another, surpassed probably only because of our commitment to God. And that triangle, putting God at the top, Denise and I side by side, and we grow closer to one another because we're growing closer to God. And I bring that up only because there's also been a number of challenges that we've had, and even job changes. I'm an entrepreneur, probably not a serial entrepreneur because I've only had four of my own businesses, but I've also learned that God had different ideas about where we should be and what we should do. Probably one of my greatest decisions I had to make personally in my professional life had to do with standing for integrity, because we had a very prosperous business. We were making great money, satisfying great customers, and it turned around the business from the previous owners. But with that success also came an opportunity to confront one of our stockholders, who was also an owner-manager, about the way we were doing business. And with the choice of integrity, had to go to the other stockholders and take a stand and state that, yes, we were successful, but we were not going to be able to continue to do some of the things that were starting to surface. To my surprise, the stockholders came back within the week and said, well, you've kind of put us between a rock and a hard spot. We're going to go and accept or ask for your letter of resignation. And with that decision, ended up selling the business and moving back home to Illinois. And again, that's when we gave birth to Garrett, because Denise was actually with child at the time. But also shared the importance of not only does God have a plan professionally for our lives, but also personally for our lives. And probably one of the most important things was to be able to come back to Illinois. They gave each of our children the opportunity to spend time with family before Denise's mother had the chance to pass away. And what I failed to realize was, for as difficult it was for Garrett to come into this life, that he would be the one that would actually take care of Denise's mother through her heart attack throughout the night. Another important aspect of that was the fact that my oldest boy, Garrett, would have been 5 at the time, and so Brennan would have been 9, that Brennan was not present during her passing, because with his personality and the memories that would have been ingrained in his mind, I think it would have been a lot more traumatic. But Garrett, being more the planner, the analytical, asking the questions, was able to walk through those and really challenge both Denise and me in who God is, when's Grandma coming back, when are we going to have a chance to meet Grandma again, and just what a life experience as a whole.
Let me pause here for a moment. You're listening to the Ministry of Great News Radio. This is the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Today's guest is Eric Kraft. But let me quickly do a little shout-out for Garrett. Thank you, God, for Garrett and how you use children in our lives. From the mouths of babes and how Scripture talks about the children will lead them. And we know the importance of having the faith of a child. Not to be childish, but to be childlike. I then encouraged Eric to share what he enjoys doing with his time and talents and how he's seen God at work.
I really feel one of my greatest callings has been to really help people grow and develop, and to develop their processes. And I've really enjoyed that with each of the businesses I've worked with, but I've also helped a number of nonprofits, including radio stations similar to this called KJIL out of Meade, Kansas. It was an opportunity to be able to bring Christian radio into Southwest Kansas, and being the youngest to serve on the board of directors, it brought in a new perspective of music and genre and programming that really allowed us to do outreach. Now, working parallel with that, we also did, we being Denise and I and a number of others there, friends and neighbors, an outreach program we called Jammers, Jesus Among Many, Every Radical Second. That was a strong outreach program for junior hires in particular, 7th and 8th graders. What started out as a core group of 20 kids in our youth group program, we encouraged each of them to bring two guests or two friends. And so that night we had 20 kids doing an overnighter after a football game. And then that became Ghosts in the Graveyards as we were running through the church looking for Snicker bars. We did movie nights with Christian movies and videos inside of a movie bubble. We went roller skating and bowling and, of course, ended with some testimonials and some great scriptures and times. Now, the year after that, We encouraged each of those to bring two additional friends, and so we had 60 kids. That continued to grow, and the year after that, we had 180. Then we had 540. Now, the last year, we had 1,000 middle schoolers coming from the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma, southeast corner of Colorado, and, of course, all throughout Dodge City, Kansas. Serena Pearl opened up as our opening artist, and a wonderful lady by the name of Rebecca St. James came in and did our concert. And she still amazes me today that she would sit right down in the front after doing a full hour and a half concert, and after 300 kids came forward to be able to accept Christ, and she's backstage ministering one-to-one with these kids. Now, the rest of the night, of course, we finished up with a lot of air inflatable games, and we went through, if I can remember the numbers now, 720 dozen donuts, 120 gallons of orange drink, 125 pizzas. Just what a great time for 1,000 kids. But it was also, to my surprise, because we were all wired up looking about safety, and we had medical and, of course, police officers on standby and medical as well, I'd received in my earpiece a word that there was suspicion that one of the boys may have a gun. And so I identified which the individual was, and I got him cornered and positioned his arms in a way that he could not do anything with that. Sure enough, it was a gun. It was a squirt gun, which kind of now you might be able to laugh at, but at the time, we thought it was pretty serious. And, of course, tried getting hold of the child's parents. Nobody answered, but went ahead and took them home. 1 year after that incident, one of the organizers of the event as well, the Jammers Overnighter, their son, who was preparing to go to Arizona State University, so he just graduated from high school, was down in Boot Hill parking lot, and the gentleman we took home because of the squirt gun, a gang wannabe, was unloading a 9mm clip into an open crowd randomly. And one of the bullets came and shot and ricocheted off the rib cage of Justin, and it killed him that night. I don't understand fully what happened there. I do know it was a great event in the sense that with the Jammers Overnighter, it provided us a great outreach. We were obviously ministering to children. They were coming forward to come to know Christ more. And taking him home, obviously he had some turmoils going on at home and in his life. Trying to find a gang was obviously not the solution either, because what he actually found was jail time. But it definitely brought about the parents of Justin to come to know and minister directly to Raphael while he was in prison, and to come and bring him to the Lord, as well as separate the gangs and diffuse them within Dodge City, and just bring about a whole new culture and a whole new change. It's a mysterious way where you have to come back and reflect and say, wow, God, why and how do you work? What good can come from an incident like this? But clearly, God has a plan, and God's way will prevail, and God's will be done.
Wow, what a powerful story, illustration, and testimony. Trying to wrestle with some of those unknowns, those why, God, or how could you let this kind of thing happen? It brings to mind that verse out of Isaiah chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we know because of the character of God that His ways are always the best. We also know nothing, absolutely nothing, can happen outside of His permissive will. Not that He causes things or is involved in the harm or the heartache or the punishment or the suffering, but nothing can happen outside of His permissive will. And so we hope and pray that in His redemptive, multifaceted, multi-layered plan and purpose, a redemptive plan can come out of it. And it seems like in this case, He works supernaturally. I don't know if you caught it all. But Justin's parents, Justin was the college-bound high school grad who was murdered, but Justin's parents witnessed to Raphael while in prison, and apparently he came to Christ. What a testimony to Justin's parents to minister to the very individual that took their beloved son's life. Can you imagine? Well, I'm going to close out this program with one final testimony from Eric Kraft, who's today's guest on Mark and Friends. As mentioned, he was handed a microphone a few days ago while we were on a Pinnacle Leadership Retreat being held in three different men's homes that was right on Lake of Egypt at the Shawnee National Forest, about 3 hours south of here. And there was about 15 or 20 of us for this Growing Deep Leadership Retreat. So yesterday you heard from Jim Lilly, and today we had my new friend, Eric Kraft, President and Chief Strategist and Executive Coach of Kraft Development Group, sharing some of his story and life testimonies as you've been hearing these past 20 or so minutes. As a reminder, this program is archived and can be heard at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. So we'll close out with a little more on Eric's love story. And as mentioned, he's been married to Denise for 23 years now.
All right, so Mark just gave me the nod, and he wants to know more about the love story. Well, it was at the church where I was attending, teaching Sunday school. This would be the high school Sunday school class. And after class, we would go into church. And I noticed that there was this peculiar girl, lady, young lady, wonderful woman, who was kind of keeping her nieces and nephews in line throughout the sermon by doing little flicks on the back of the head and on the shoulder. So I was really liking the fact that the nieces and nephews all wanted to sit next to her, but I also liked the fact that she was also able to train up and condition and control the children around her. And as I started inquiring, well, I found out she was already taken. But I got to know her mother pretty well. And because her mother would invite me over for lunch after Sunday sermons, that gave me a chance to be able to get to know Denise a little bit more. But again, she was taken. And lo and behold, after 2 years of continuing to teach Sunday school and attend church, there was a concert that was actually over in Leroy, Illinois. And to my surprise, I got a phone call from her mom asking if we could meet at the Dairy Queen in Leroy. And we did. So we met up with not only her mom, of course Denise was there, and another one of her friends. And in the course of our discussion, I found out that Denise was now available. And so we went to the concert, and we continued to just build and grow from there. And 2 years later, we got married, and that was on May 19th, 1990. This goes out to Denise. I love you, dear.
Great ending there, Eric. Come forward and pick up your certificate. You pass Husbandry 101. You now get to teach the advanced course. What a great guy. That's Eric Kraft, President and Chief Strategist, Executive Coach of Kraft Development Group. Well, I hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. There's a picture of Eric at our website, greatnewsradio.org. And if you missed a portion of his testimony, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.